Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of You Got Hacked, a podcast produced by Sierra Nevada Corporation's cybersecurity team. On You Got Hacked, we focus on cybersecurity issues, current events, and technology solutions to make you, your family, and your community smarter, safer, and more secure from the ever-evolving cyber threat landscape. I'm your host, Arielle Stenger. The field of cybersecurity is all-encompassing, and the people who work in this area come from many different walks of life. One way people first get involved with this complex subject is through education. Our teachers, educators, and professors are the first light that sparks for many people to study, learn, and grow in computer science, engineering, and cybersecurity. On You Got Hacked, we are doing a mini-series focused on cybersecurity education and the role that education can have to hopefully inspire the next generation of cybersecurity warriors. This will be part one of two, where we will explore with Dr. Bhavani and learn about her insights from over 35 years in the cyber world. Dr. Bhavani, welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me to participate in this podcast.
It's so good to have you. Thanks for making the time. I know you just got back from London, too, just a couple of days ago.
Yes, right. I got back on Sunday, and I was there for a board meeting. And so, yeah, jet lag is all gone. So I'm really looking forward to this podcast.
Wonderful. Thank you. So let's just kind of get started and learn a little bit more about your background. And if you could just give us a quick introduction on kind of who you are.
Right. So I'm Dr. Bhavani Thuraisingam, and everyone calls me Dr. Bhavani. I'm the founder's chair professor of computer science at the University of Texas at Dallas. And I'm also the founding executive director of the Cybersecurity Research and Education Institute, which was founded in 2004, and I ran it until end of 2021. And now I'm also the co-director of Women in Cybersecurity and Women in Data Science. I've been working for over 37 years, since fall of 1985, in cybersecurity. And I worked at commercial companies like Honeywell, federal research labs like the MITRE Corporation, the federal government, the National Science Foundation, and then I joined the University of Texas, Dallas in October 2004. So in addition to my technical work and publications, awards, and so on, I also do a lot of service, like I've written opinion articles and other articles and presentations in the field of cybersecurity for numerous venues, such as the New York Times, Fortune Media, Dell Technologies World, and more recently at the Lloyd's of London Insurance, which is the oldest insurance company in the world. And Arielle, I'm really looking forward to this podcast. And again, once again, thanks so much for inviting me.
It's amazing to have someone like you on our podcast. Like, such an impressive background and pedigree, both in research and innovation, as well as actual practitioner. So thank you for making the time. So when you were a kid, were you always thinking like cybersecurity or, you know, the world of computers was going to be your main area of focus?
So remember, I'm originally a Tamil from Sri Lanka. And so I was growing up sort of in the 1960s, and I was, you know, mostly in the latter part of 1960s, such a long time ago. And so we did not talk about cybersecurity, let alone computer science, right? Yeah. I really liked math and physics. I always excelled. So I wanted to study math and physics and be an educator, especially in mathematics. However, so when I went to college, I started reading about computing. And in grad school, I went to the United Kingdom, England, University of Bristol for my graduate education. So I combined mathematics with computer science because by then I knew enough about computing because in college I took some courses in computing. And so my PhD was in theoretical computer science. And so my work in cybersecurity today, it's as a researcher, software developer, and more importantly, sort of, I'm also an educator, and it's really beyond my wildest dreams. So I'm so happy. In a way, I was at the right time at the right place. So I was quite fortunate, I think.
Well, that's amazing. It's amazing that you almost kind of grew up and got to shape your career around an emerging technology and just capability, kind of.
Yes. Thank you.
Very cool. So what would you say, you know, just from the Joe Schmo kind of on the street who has a phone or a computer or an iPad or something of the like, what would be your top cybersecurity tip for them?
First of all, you've got to be really aware and really conscious of what is happening, right? So cyber attacks are very real. So the topmost tip that I will give is you've got to practice proper cyber hygiene. So what does that mean? That means changing your passwords frequently and also backing up your files, right, daily. You also need to make sure that you have installed all the anti-malware. Malware meaning malicious software, the bad things, the bad guys. And also use the latest patches, right? The companies, various vendors offer these patches. So I'd like for the, you know, general public to think of it as a virus, like the novel coronavirus. So what did we do the last, what, almost 3 years to handle this virus, right? We have to make sure we are healthy, we get the necessary vaccines. And just like the virus, these bad guys, the malicious software, which we call malware, they are really planted by the hackers, right? And they can spread and mutate. So what do? You've got to take all the precautions to combat the problem. You can't take the eye off, right? You cannot get distracted. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to be conscious. You've got to be aware. Every gadget that has a microprocessor, not just the iPad and the iPhone and so on. Yes, that's important, but also a microprocessor in your refrigerator or your television, anything that has a microprocessor could be attacked. That's how you need to think. I hope that helps, Ariel.
I mean, you know, on this podcast, we get a healthy dose of just, you know, fear-based inspiration to secure our world. But it's such a good point. It definitely does help that, you know, as we go to like smart home architectures and things like that, those also need to be protected.
So yes, that's the key, because we don't even know, right? We have all these gadgets that we have in our home. We don't think about it like they have got a microprocessor, computer in there. So as I said, any gadget, even tiniest gadget, even a tiny sensor, which has a microprocessor, it can be attacked.
Yeah, so that is, you know, that'll keep you up at night a little bit. But it's good to know that the remedy for that is apply the software upgrades, secure your system, change your password. Yes. Some very yes. tangible and within reach sort of actions.
And sorry, one more thing, backing up your files, which is very important. Back up your files every day. That way, even if you're attacked, you may not lose much, you see?
Yeah, that's a great point. But throughout your career, so you've worked in a lot of different industries, from the commercial side to federal and academic, as well as currently. How do you see these different industries working together to advance cybersecurity?
So that's really a good point. You know, I've had a 42-year career, 37 of which has been in cybersecurity. So as I mentioned, I work in the commercial industry, research, federal labs, federal government, and academia. Now, in academia, right, we focus only on educating our students and conducting research. But the students, they have to understand the real-world problems, right? They have to get practical training. And this we can get mainly from the industry and government. So in a field like cybersecurity, the government, they keep track of these various attacks. And so solutions to these attacks, practical solutions, are usually developed by the industry. So what do we do in academia? So it's really important that academia works with the government and industry. And we have to go sort of beyond what industry is doing. So we've got to develop not only cutting edge solutions, right? We also have to anticipate what are the future challenges, because what are some of the potential attacks that are not known yet? So those are the sorts of things that we need to focus on. And in order to do that effectively and educate our students, we've got to form close partnerships with industry and the government. So I hope that sort of explains, that answers your question.
Definitely. Cross-sector collaboration. It makes a lot of sense to me coming from industry, but even from when the time I was a student, both undergrad and graduate. So, you know, it would have been great, and it was great to have professors who were so passionate about training and engagement with industry. Why do you think that cybersecurity education is important from that perspective of cross-sectorality? Okay. Yeah.
So first, I believe that cyber attacks are not going to stop, right? I don't think all these hackers and the attackers are going to become saints overnight, right? Attackers are going to keep attacking. So as we make sort of progress with technologies, and technologies are going to be developed because we cannot go back to 1960, can we, right? Where we were not connected. So as we make progress with technologies, like, you know, your pacemakers and artificial intelligence systems, the power grid, and you mentioned smart homes, so the attacks are going to increase. So as a result, we have to have an educated workforce because they have to solve these challenging problems that we are facing and we are also going to face. So I strongly believe, right, I got into from industry and government, I went into academia because I all strongly believe that students are our future, right? As they say, our children sort of are the next generation. So students are the next generation of educators, industry specialists, government folks, and so on. And so again, they are going to have careers, as I said, in academia, industry, government. So they need to be equipped with the skills to address all these challenges that we are facing and are going to face. So many of those, like in my generation, right, we got our education, like in math, electrical engineering, maybe computer science. We did not teach cybersecurity, say, 30 or 40 years ago. So computer science was the first universities, I think, in the US were in like in the mid 1963, 1964. And cybersecurity courses, really, they started teaching in the late 80s and in the 90s, but a lot in the 2000s. So we had to learn cybersecurity, people like me, on the job. Our students, you know, they will have an advantage, right? Because they are going to have the education when they start their careers. So as a result, right, they can better address the challenges that we are all going to face. So, right, so that's why I think cybersecurity education is important. You know, they got to have these skills. And the only way they can get it, I mean, learning on the job is good, is important, very important, but having the formal education background is going to be a huge bonus. So I hope that answers your question, Ariel.
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Bhavani. I mean, you know, you speak in such a way that it seems so obvious, which I think is really a testament to your experience, your lived experience, the trends you've seen over the last, 40 years of your career. And I'm sure that there must have been, you know, some book or some webinar, some class, some course that you were part of that really shaped your thinking. What would you say was the most influential sort of event or book that you've read?
Right. So I am a lifelong learner, right? So I've read many books over the years, and I believe education is lifelong. And some books I like to go back and reread in sometimes the basic books, like in areas like mathematics. And so in cybersecurity, I've been in the field for 37 years. So there are quite a few books I've read. But one book in particular that I've been reading for the last, 12 years. And that is, it's one of my favorites. It's by Sean Harris, a lady. And it's a book on the CISSP, Certified Information System Security Professional, all in one exam guide. Now, she explains very clearly what cybersecurity is about and describes all the areas in cybersecurity. Like CISSP has got 10 major modules. They may have increased it to more now. And so it's a very, very thick book, thousands of pages, I believe, at least 1,000, more than 1,000. And so she explains all the concepts in very simple terms. And so she comes up with a new edition every few years. So I always try to get her latest editions, but very sad. She passed away a few years ago. She was only in her mid 40s. You know, it's really sad. And I'm really hoping the publisher, I think it's McGraw-Hill, that they will continue to publish new editions of this book because it's been so useful, not just for me, but also for my students. And so it's always, sometimes I like going and rereading books, but also reading new books. But that's a challenge, right? There's only so much time But again, you said one book that has influenced me, and I would say, or that I found very interesting, and I would say Sean Harris's book in cybersecurity.
It's fun to hear of a book that, you know, you can curl up with and, you know, a short 1,000 pages and find refreshing each time you kind of reread it and re-engage.
Yeah.
That's fun. So kind of to close out this episode, I was hoping we could, you know, peek to the future a little bit and get your 2 cents on what you think the cyber world may look like in 5 years. And kind of, you know, some of another emerging trend right now is, you know, quantum computing and AI.
Yes.
What are your thoughts there?
Right. So when I think of 5 years from now, I get terrified, right? Because
me too.
Yeah, we will continue. Because the thing is, we are going to continue to develop new technologies. That means, as I said, more cyber attacks. Now, we are beginning to use now artificial intelligence, or we call it AI, in practically every area, right? Healthcare, medicine, to finance, to manufacturing. And imagine, right, if these AI systems are attacked. So can we really rely on the results that they are producing, right? These AI systems, because they could be attacked as well. So they'll produce incorrect results, and then that would cause complete chaos. So what does it mean? We have to develop these AI systems that can handle these cyber attacks, right? So there's a whole area that's emerging called adversarial AI techniques, that these techniques are handling sort of attacks, but you know, this is still very much in the research stage. And also, while we are developing all these security solutions, another concern, major concern I have is data privacy, right? Again, because of AI, right, we can now mine and extract those nuggets, which is going to be very helpful for the businesses. But these nuggets could also violate personal privacy. And we are also hearing about AI algorithms or techniques can be biased and discriminate against individuals, maybe gender-based biases, race-based biases, because these AI techniques, they can only produce results through this training. And so if there's bias in humans, that's going to be transferred into these algorithms or these techniques. So then we have to develop AI techniques that are secure, fair, unbiased, and they also have to ensure privacy. So that's a big worry for me because we are continuing to use AI. Another concern, a huge worry, is quantum computing. You know, I want to sort of first say that quantum computing is going to do wonders in handling, say, very large amounts of data and process the data very rapidly, even to train these AI systems. You know, they could be trained rapidly with quantum computing. So that's great. But the problem with quantum computing is that this quantum computing that's going to be so beneficial, it's also going to be, it could break all the encryption code in milliseconds. Currently, we are using an encryption technique called AES 256. That encryption technique cannot be broken by the supercomputer, you know, very fast supercomputers. It'll take like millions of years. But with quantum computing, you can break the code in milliseconds. That means we are not going to have any security. So if quantum computing is going to get real, which I believe it will, we will not have any security. So what does that mean? So cybersecurity researchers, they are developing techniques, and these techniques are called post-quantum, that means after quantum cryptography. And we are hoping that these techniques, right, with these techniques, that this encryption code cannot be broken by quantum computing. So there's a lot of work to, you know, that has to be done. These techniques, the post-quantum cryptography techniques are being developed, and organizations like NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, you know, they ask researchers to submit their algorithms to test to see if the codes can be broken. So there's a lot of work being done, but we have a long way to go, because in the meantime, if quantum computing really shows promise, I don't know what we are going to do. So that's really one of my biggest worries right now.
Well, it's one of my biggest worries now too.
Yes.
Yeah, just trying to think through, like, you know, what does that mean? Like that implication for just our general digital security, you know, whether we're just, you know, people going to the store and doing a transaction, Venmoing somebody, or something much larger, when you think about industry, the implications are massive.
Yes, right. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's just hope for the best. That's all I can say.
And, you know, plan for the worst. Post-quantum researchers are underway. So we'll just say that post-quantum researchers are going to beat out the quantum deployment.
Right. You put it really nicely, Ariel. I said hope for the best, but you are absolutely right. We hope for the best and then the horrible things happen. So we've got to plan for the worst, right?
Exactly.
That's really crucial, right?
Exactly.
And I'm going to use your quote in the future. I hope you don't mind.
Of course. Well, thank you for digging into kind of, you know, your research, your background, influential books that you've read, kind of your perspective on the field of cybersecurity as it stands now. I look forward to our second episode where we talk a little bit more about diversity and inclusivity within the cybersecurity field.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to this part as well, because I've done, as I said, a lot of work for women in cybersecurity over the years.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bhavani. We'll talk soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of You Got Hacked, brought to you by Sierra Nevada Corporation Cyber Team. For more information, you can visit us online at sncorp.com. That's sncorp.com. A special thank you to our guests and, of course, all of you, our listeners. I'm Arielle Stenger. See you next time.